Hello, everyone. This is the Dream It Alive show. I'm your host, Ash Kumra, co-founder of DreamItAlive.com. DreamItAlive.com is a global community that guides you to create your dream life with scientifically proven visualization tools, goal-setting tools like dream boards, and helpful personal development content. Our whole mission is to help you become the best version of yourself, so check it out at DreamItAlive.com. Really happy to have today's guest because in order to manifest your dreams, visualize the things that you want to have, you really have to master productivity, master those life habits, master those rituals that you do every day so that your actions not only create daily success, but they help you ensure that that long-term success, i.e. those dreams and life goals, happen. And today's guest is someone who has really mastered this. His name is Eben Pagan. For those who don't know who he is, he's an uber successful entrepreneur. He has launched over 10 businesses, many of them in the seven figures. He's very well known in the online marketing, digital marketing realm. It's pretty cool. If you actually go to some of his websites, he has actually been interviewed by Tony Robbins. It's one thing to say, hey, I've interviewed Tony Robbins, but it's another thing to be actually interviewed by Tony Robbins. Luminaries like Sir Richard Branson, he has done fireside chats with. I personally have used some of Eben's products that he has launched, and I can personally tell you that this man is on a mission to help everyone become the best versions of themselves, and really happy to share this interview, especially because he has actually launched a whole new program set on mastering productivity. But before we really dive into all that, I really want to understand where Eben's kind of mindset and lifestyle and his fuel for success has come from, because we all need to learn from mentors, coaches, guides, you know, people that are just divinely orchestrated in front of our lives. And Eben is no exception. So let's take a journey with Eben and learn how we could become better versions of ourselves, mastering productivity and visualization so that we can make our dreams happen. So, Eben, how are you today?
I'm doing good. Thanks, Ash.
Hey, great to hear that. Why don't you tell us a little about your journey first as to how you got into creating the businesses that you've done?
Yeah, well, you know, I grew up in the backwoods of Oregon. I mean, it feels like a, you know, one of these typical rags to riches stories that you hear these days. I had hippie parents that didn't want me to grow up in the city. I was born in New York, and so they moved out to literally the backwoods of Oregon, outside of Eugene, Oregon. And I grew up, I didn't know anyone that was successful. I didn't really know anyone who knew anyone who was really successful. And, you know, at some point in my life, I decided that I wanted to have financial success. So I did what a lot of us do. I started reading the books. I read books like Think and Grow Rich, and then got into personal development and self-help, and then started, you know, really studying. The game changer for me was when I started studying marketing, and I learned marketing and sales, and I realized that if you have a business, that having the power to get customers by doing, you know, direct marketing and sales, it's like a magic ticket. If you can get all the customers that you want, well, then you can have basically whatever business you want to have. And in the process of building businesses and teaching people how to do things, I also realized that it's really enjoyable to, you know, as they say, do well by doing good, to do something for your work that contributes a lot to other people and helps them make their lives better. I feel so fortunate to be able to do that. And it turns out that if you can add a lot of value to other people, you can also have a business that works really, really well for you. I don't know if that answers your question, you know, if you want to go another direction with it, but that's where it all came from.
No, that does answer my question. I mean, in terms of, you know, you've given so many nuggets of wisdom there. One of the things that I love, what you said about, you know, doing well by doing good. I mean, there's a whole mantra that's going around right now, especially in traditional media, is the whole paying it forward mentality. One of the things I like about your some of your online businesses that I've done is that you give so much free value. When I mean by free value, like you offer ebooks, you offer these amazing videos, you offer all these things that alone could be something you can sell. But it gives me as a customer, someone who, let's say, doesn't know you personally, or someone who's just getting to know you, believe, wow, this guy is giving so much to make my day better, whether I decide to become his paying customer or not. And when you said that statement, it kind of resonated with me. I do want to segue into the more personal side of yourself. You are someone who has talked about mastering productivity and, you know, why it's so important to have a clear goal. Talk us through, you know, some of the habits that you have acquired over the last few years that helped you kind of stay grounded and keeps you fueled to keep being successful.
Sure. Well, one of the things that I learned, and, you know, I've just learned this from studying the masters of getting things done and productivity and, you know, achievement, is that accomplishment, you know, reaching your goals or, you know, getting the results you want in life is really built on a foundation of being personally energized and personally healthy and personally fulfilled. So one of the most important rituals that I have in my life, one of the most important habits that I put in my life is, I call it my personal success ritual, where when I wake up first thing in the morning, I don't check my messages, I don't go to email, I don't get on the computer, I don't read the news, I don't watch any programming at all. And this is typically for about, right now it's an average of about 2.5 hours probably from when I wake up until my first, you know, interaction with technology or the internet or messages. And what I do instead of doing that is I wake up, I've got a little baby daughter that's, you know, going to turn 2 soon. I wake up, I take her for a nice long walk, come back, you know, maybe spend a little bit of time with her, make a really super healthy, you know, green shake. I do a lot of things to really renew myself. And then I, you know, actually start my work day, if that's what I'm up to that day. So that's been a really big one. Now, you know, I might do that, you know, let's say, I don't know, 90% of the time or something. You know, when, so for example, this week we're doing our big launch for our Wake Up Productive program. I might, you know, I might only get an hour and a half from when I wake up until I actually go and, you know, check my email. But the last, you know, 3 days or that I can think of here, I've woken up, you know, first thing, took my daughter for a walk, and I'm in the middle of a big product launch. So doing that and making my own health and my own, you know, my own spirit really the priority, that's been a huge one. Because it gives me perspective, you know, it allows me to see what I'm doing. It allows me to start my day on my own agenda rather than immediately diving in and seeing what the world has for me to do. So that's been a big one.
No, that's amazing. I'm actually curious because I've actually seen a lot of your videos and you always talk about this green shake. What's in the green shake? I'm just curious.
Sure. Well, I've been refining it over the years. The philosophy goes something like this. I read somewhere that there were an average of 35,000 different items in a grocery store, right? And as I was thinking about it, I was like, okay, well, there are probably like 35 of them that have all the nutrients in them, you know. And it turns out that some things, you know, they just have, they're much more nutrient dense, as they say in the kind of nutrition world. So I just went and did some research and I thought, okay, well, someone's got to know what this is, you know. So I went online and I just said, okay, what are the most nutrient dense foods? Like what foods have the most nutrient density? And I came across this, you know, this ORAC value where they score things. And a lot of green organic vegetables have lots of nutrients. So I've got a box in the refrigerator, and it gets refilled once a week with all organic green vegetables. So there's kale, a couple of species of kale. There's chard. There's baby bok choy. There's spinach. There's broccoli. There's about 6 or 7 different greens in there. And I take that out, and I fill my blender up with those. And then I put in a mix that has protein and, you know, all the superfoods that they're very healthy. So spirulina and chlorella and, you know, all kinds of other supplements, vitamin C and things. And then I put in some healthy fats. I put in some flax seeds and some chia seeds. And I found these organic flavorings that work really well, some fruit flavorings that I put in there. And I put in some stevia and, you know, some kind of no-calorie sweeteners. I don't put in any, no refined sugar. That's what I try to stay away from. So, you know, my rule of thumb is I try to be as close to organic and raw and nutrient dense as possible. I put in a bunch of raw raw vegetable protein. So anyway, when you mix it all up, it tastes pretty good. I have one as my first meal, and then I put another one in the fridge to have as my third meal. You know, and I eat about every 2.5 or 3 hours, try to have small, maybe 400 calorie meals or so. And I systemize them so that, you know, keeps my energy nice and, you know, nice and strong all through the day. But that's basically it. Greens,
that's awesome.
Healthy fat, flax seeds, chia seeds, you know, healthy raw protein. There's a little bit of protein that's not raw in there, but mostly, you know, raw vegetable protein. And then a couple of other, you know, powders and superfoods and things.
Okay. Well, I mean, aside from your, you know, some of your rituals, I mean, let's talk about, you know, the way you work. And then we'll dive into your productivity product that you are launching. You're in the midst of launching. What role does when you are, you know, let's say when you're walking with your child, or this could be right before you, you know, turn on your computer and get in that go mode, or when you have some downtime. How do you foresee the future? Like, why are you, like, how do you see, okay, I'm gonna build one business and then I'm gonna build another business? Do you visualize? Do you meditate? I mean, I'm just curious, like, how you think.
Yeah. So when it comes to businesses, there are different aspects to this. When it comes to businesses, what I've found is, if I'm listening to what customers want and I'm following what customers are interested in, the idea for the next business typically emerges all by itself. So, for example, when I did my first business training, this was about 8 years ago, I did it because I had built a business of dating advice. I had written a book of dating advice, and that did really well, and created a whole series of products. And as I was building that business, friends of mine came to me and said, you know, hey, Evan, you know, I see you're doing this thing online. You know, can you show me what you're doing? And so I would show them, and several of them, kind of one after another, went and they started their own business teaching online or doing information products. And they became successful, like, you know, one after another. And I thought, oh, this is a whole other opportunity I hadn't thought of before. Maybe I should be teaching this as a, you know, as a business course. So, you know, there it is. There's the insight. So I did a high-end business training that is called Altitude, and it did really well right out of the gate. So I was at that program, and, you know, we had a couple hundred people in the room. And through the program, because this was a new thing for me to be doing, is teaching business, I wanted to learn a lot about the people. So I would ask them different questions about their business and have them raise their hands and kind of talk to them about it. And at one point I said, how many people here are in the information industry? And most of the hands in the room went up. Now, keep in mind, this was a course on how to grow a business. It wasn't a course on how to build an information business. And then I realized, oh, duh, right? These people are here learning from me about how to build a business because I built a successful information and teaching business. So it would naturally attract those people. And I couldn't believe that I hadn't seen that. So several months later, I launched another business training course that was how to grow an information business, like how to start and build one of those. And that did a lot better on its first launch than the business training program. And then while I was doing that program, I was talking to my customers and I was surveying people on my list and I was asking them what their biggest challenges were building their information or teaching business. And when I did a survey and I looked at the answers, the number one answer that came back had nothing to do with building an information business. It had to do with productivity and time management. And that was actually the kind of aha that led me to create the productivity program. And, you know, I've got story like one after another of discovering my next opportunity by just listening to what customers are saying about the one that I'm currently working on. That even goes to the next level, which is as I started teaching business and I did well doing that and I was advising people kind of how to grow their businesses, I had the aha of, oh, maybe I should be investing in other businesses and helping, you know, like directly advising them and helping them grow. So I started doing that and taking the knowledge that I had, you know, learned about building businesses and taking some of the money I had earned by running my own business, and I started investing, and that turned out to do really well as well. So, you know, just following one opportunity to the next and really listening for the next opportunity, listening for, you know, I've learned this stuff, what could I now do with that? And then that opportunity emerges, and then I go and I explore that one for a few years or however long it is. And then I say, okay, now I know these two things. What could I do with that information? And then I listen. And I'm, you know, I'm kind of a little bit of a nomad when it comes to business. I'm always, you know, moving on and doing the next thing, really to my detriment. I mean, if I would have just stayed focused on like a single thing that I've done in the past, I'd probably be more financially successful right now. But in the big picture, I like learning new things and I like going on to new adventures. And so it's worked out pretty well.
That's awesome. And let's flip the side on your personal dreams and goals. Like, I mean, you mentioned you have a daughter, and I know you're married. How did you visualize, or have you ever visualized or meditated on what is the ideal personal life you want, and how do you get into that flow process?
Yeah, not a lot of people ask me that question, but I'm stoked that you did. One of the things that I do, every year or so, is I come back and I ask myself, what would an ideal day look like in my life? Like, if I had a day that was just a perfect day, what would it look like? And I try to come up with, you know, a work version of that day and a, you know, disconnected kind of, you know, total relaxation, rejuvenation version of that day. And what's interesting is I'm at different points in my life, you know, as I ask this question. And, you know, so several years ago, let's say when I was just building my company, you know, an ideal day might have involved a lot of work and a lot of interacting with people on my team and a lot of making products and, you know, so forth. And in my personal life, an ideal day might have looked like, you know, waking up at, you know, some apartment on the beach, or, you know, driving a Ferrari, or, you know, some goal-oriented thing, something that, you know, I had to continually do some work to achieve. Well, as my life's gone on and I achieve a lot of those things, and, you know, I've lived at the beach now, let's see, 1, 2, 3 times, you know, in 3 different cities. After you do that a few times, you no longer have that as a, you know, a vision or as a goal. Or, you know, I got the Ferrari years ago and turned out that it was fun for a little while. Then it was high maintenance and hard to drive. And okay, I got rid of that. And, you know, I realized, oh, a lot of these material things that I want, they're really not fulfilling. They actually, you know, you heard about the book, The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari. That's yeah, just really true. So where I'm at right now is I'm realizing that life is really about simplifying. Like, it's really about streamlining your life and finding those things that really give you the reward, you know, really give you the experience of success, of achievement, of fulfillment, and paying really close attention when you do something that you think is going to feel good or you think is going to feel bad, and then actually checking afterwards and saying, okay, now how do I feel? In my own life, for example, here, you know, I've got just one kind of current one that's going on. I have thousands of books. Between my wife and I think we had, I don't know, 5,000 or 6,000 books combined. And I've been pack ratting books forever. And I always thought of having lots of books as, like, there was no other option in my life. Like, that was just a sign of success. And I've been collecting them for so long, I couldn't imagine any other way. And I actually got to the point where I realized every time I would move to a new place, I'd have to have a whole room just for the books. And so in, let's see, 1, 2, 3 apartments in a row, I had a whole room for the books, plus they were starting to spill out into the other rooms and into my, you know, living room in my my main apartment. And so a few years ago, I had an aha. Oh, there are whole classes of books, whole bunches of them, where I'm kind of done studying that thing. And it would be great if I freed up that space. And it's been challenging, but over the last few years, we've probably gotten rid of half of our books. And what I'm going to try to do now in the next year or so is I'm going to try to get rid of maybe 60 or 80% of the ones that are left. Now, I would have thought years ago that that would be too hard, or it would suck, or I'd be looking for a book and I wouldn't be able to find it. But gosh, it's actually freeing up all this energy and it's freeing up space. And at the same time that I'm getting rid of books, I'm actually becoming very interested in art. And so we've started collecting art and, Now when I see a bookcase, I think, oh, there's a place where a really great piece of art could go. So, you know, life changes as it does. Try to pay attention to what gives you the higher quality experiences, and then add more of those to your life. Add the things that really give you the feeling of success rather than the things that, you know, might give you the superficial appearance of success or the things that you think will impress others, because the reality is that, that stuff really doesn't matter.
I really appreciate that answer. And I was writing some notes when you had shared that. And one of the things that I really liked what you said, which kind of applies to this whole theme of mastering productivity, is that you seem to be a master of clearing things and simplifying things, optimizing your life so that you have the freedom to pursue your own dreams and goals. Whether you realize it or not, you know, I feel that you are very good at that, because, you know, it's, you can't want that. You can't attain that Ferrari or that or work on yourself, whether it's getting fit or build that dream business, if you have no time. And it seems like your personality of, you know, clearing things and being efficient is probably why you have been able to create such a successful productivity program. So why don't we dive into that for this last part of the interview? Would you mind sharing with the audience this new product launch that you are in the middle of and why it's so important for everyone?
Sure. Well, you know, as I mentioned here, I ask my customers, I ask my list, what's your biggest challenge or frustration? You know, growing your information business, by the way. And they came back with time management and productivity. So I had been doing a bunch of work on that area myself, and I said, oh, okay, well, let me just create a course on it. I'm not a productivity guru, so to speak. That isn't the main thing that I've studied. But it turned out that I've been very productive, and I learned a lot of great ways to do it, and I'm pretty good at teaching. So I put it together, created this course, and it became a really well-known, successful productivity course. It also helps that not many other people are focused on this area and learning about it and teaching it. And so in Wake Up Productive, the promise is that if you invest 90 days with me, and for most of the program, that is watching a video that's maybe 20 to 30 minutes long once a week and then doing a little exercise. Okay, so, you know, like a half hour a week. So we do this over 90 days. And at the end, if you'll use what you learn, you'll double your productivity. And what's also kind of cool about this course is that there are no planners or day timers or complex, you know, priority lists or cards or anything that you can lose or none of that old school stuff. You know, I've been to those seminars. I, you know, picked up some tips, but they didn't really do it for me. And I didn't like the, you know, the complex system. So in Wake Up Productive, what we do over the 90 days is we install just two habits. Okay. Because the, you know, the key insight here is that we are creatures of habit and we live in our habits. And if we really want to make big change, we have to go to work on the habit level. But it takes about 30 days to install a new habit. So we put two habits in place. One is a personal success ritual, and then one is a business success ritual. So first part of your day, personal success ritual, make yourself strong first. And then second part of your day when you go into your business, how to identify and then work on those things that are the high-value activities that ring the cash register and actually make you money, and then how to put these two things in place as habits so that you do them automatically. Right? The name is Wake Up Productive. And the promise is that in 90 days, you go through the course, you will wake up and automatically be twice as productive. So that's kind of a quick overview of it.
That's amazing. I would like to know how some of these habits have, or some of the tactics or programs or strategies that that Mastering Productivity has done for you specifically. Was there a time either in your personal or business life when things weren't going so well and some of these things that you just mentioned just helped turn it around, whatever it is?
Yeah, well, for me, the transformation came. I was at a point in my life where I had grown a successful business, several of them, in fact, and I wanted to transition over and launch a couple of new companies. I'd gotten to the point where I was working 60 or 80 hours a week, and I didn't really know any different in my life at that point. I mean, things had been going really well, and I was single, and, you know, it just kind of didn't matter. Like, that's what I did. But I had gained 25 pounds. I wasn't that healthy. you know, I would check email last thing before bed, and I'd roll out of bed first thing and, you know, go right to my email into my phone and just get on everyone else's agenda rather than doing my own thing. And so I realized that in order to launch these businesses, I was going to have to get productivity figured out. You know, so I went back and studied some of the things I had studied in the past, but also started really studying, you know, the modern stuff. Got a couple of new teachers and mentors that were working with me on it, and just put a system in place that that just changed the game for me. I mean, I was able to launch the two new businesses, really got my food and exercise together. As a accidental byproduct, I wound up losing that 25 pounds. I mean, that's not what I set out to do, but it just happened because I was eating healthy food. I was exercising regularly. And by the way, I've kept it off. You know, I still don't have that 25 pounds on me. I'll admit that when my little daughter was born a couple of years ago, I probably gained about, I don't know, 8 or 10 pounds, but quickly got rid of it, you know, once I got back on the plan. So, you know, it's change that has lasted for me. You know, it's been long term. I still organize my days when I'm going to be working around doing focused, uninterrupted blocks of time doing the highest value work. And I'm always trying to figure out how I can refine that process because I think we only get maybe 3 or 4 good hours every day, you know, maybe 3 or 4, where we're just kind of peak attention focus, peak willpower, and we can do the super high value work in our business. We need to make sure that that window of time, when that is occurring, that we're using that to take advantage of our biggest opportunities and to create as much value as we possibly can. Because if we don't, it'll get taken from us with email and messages and talking to people and, you know, fighting fires and whatever, and we're never going to get that time back. And when you learn to focus that time, ideally every day, over the months and years it accumulates, and that's what leads to big success. If you take out the people that you read about in the paper that, you know, started a business from their dorm room at Harvard and then dropped out and made $1 billion, take those kind of outliers out, and you really just, you say, okay, I want to take, you know, 100 people who have all become self-made millionaires or 10 millionaires, okay, or whatever, but not people that I've ever heard of, people that just did it in some business or some industry. What did they all do? You'll find that most of them, they found an opportunity that really fit their talents and their strengths, and then they went to work on it, and they just did it. They did the right thing over and over and over, day after day, week after week, month after month, usually for at least a few years, most of them for several years. And when you get right down to it, it's putting one foot in front of the other. And most of us are so distractible, we're so multitasking, we're so all over the place. We've never trained ourselves. We've never actually just taken the time to learn the skill and then to practice doing one thing at a time in chunks of time that are 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. And when you start doing that, you know, again, everything changes.
That's amazing. And if I may, I just have one follow-up question that's kind of related to the whole theme of this interview, because sure, you seem like someone who's so forward-changing, someone who's so curious about life. I love the fact that, you know, you constantly do businesses and ventures to, you know, new ones, because you're frankly just a curious individual. What excites you? This interview is being aired in, January 2015. What excites you about life, society, right now specifically? Like any trends or anything that, you know, in general just excites you that you're just like, you know, this is kind of cool. We're living in a cool time right now. I'm just curious.
Yeah, I really like this idea that, you know, we humans, we're kind of born, we're almost born as an animal. And then as we're growing up, we develop our higher capacities, you know, as brain hardware comes online and as we learn language and we get involved in culture and things. And this idea that we can evolve ourselves while we're still alive and we can become a higher version of ourselves, that's fascinating to me. I also really like learning. And I love the way the internet is making distributed learning possible, where if I want to know how to do something, I can just go online and find someone to teach me how to do it. Either live, you know, I can get coaching from them, or in a form of video or a book or something. And so we're now seeing people that have these, you know, that are interested in, let's say, these five different topics, and they're the only person in the world that's interested in those five things, and they're like the intersection of those things. And then they come up with all these other new discoveries, and you can kind of go learn from that person. So the generative nature of education and how it facilitates this self-evolution process. And I also really like things that that help us actualize, like become the greatest potential versions of ourselves, whether it be knowledge or connections or masterminds or, you know, whatever those things are that that really pull us up, that draw us into the highest version of ourselves. A lot of this is just self-serving. Like I like evolving. I like developing. I like becoming more successful. I like going to the next level. I like helping other people do it because I feel good. And I help someone else achieve what they want to achieve. So again, you know, it might sound like it's, you know, contribution based, and I do love to contribute, but you know, I feel like I'm always the big winner when I contribute a lot to someone else. So, you know, it excites me to see what's possible right now, to see how far we can go in our evolution. I'm also interested in things like, you know, the singularity. I've been going to the singularity summits for a lot of years. This, you know, this idea that computers at some point might wake up and become self-aware, and we might, you know, be involved with that or plugged into them when we do. And nobody has any idea. I mean, well, some people have ideas about it, but nobody really knows what's going to happen there. But there are really interesting things on the horizon for humanity right now. You know, we're facing our biggest challenges that we've ever faced, and there are a bunch of them, and they're very complex, and they're all interrelated. And we're facing our biggest opportunities that we've ever faced. If I can be a part of helping figure some of that stuff out, I think I'm going to look back on my life and say, that was a good run.
That was a great answer, and thank you for sharing that. And like I said, you have this amazing, curious mind, and you know, it clearly shows in the kind of answer you gave. It's just so many diverse views. Thank you so much for being on this interview, and more importantly, thank you for helping make a contribution to our society and with your businesses, with your example, and with, you know, just the kind of the knowledge and wisdom that you have given many people. And keep up the great work, and can't wait to check out your latest product.
Thanks, Ash.